Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to our listeners. I'm Stars Christina, and I would like to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio and Star Psychics. Today joining me is our five-star psychic Stars, David James. Hello, David.
Hello, Christina. Thank you so much for having me, and what a fantastic Valentine's Day show we're going to have tonight.
Yes, I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about. Basically, a little bit of trivia, a little bit of magic, a little bit of love. So, first of all, I'd like to say that our discussion is 30 minutes, and we will take the last 30 minutes of your calls as they come in. You must be 18 years of age or older to participate. We ask that you don't ask any health or legal questions. These readings are for entertainment purposes only. And at the end of the next half hour of our show, our reader will answer one brief question at a time as our callers come in. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day, a little bit. This is the Valentine's Day show, and basically what it is, and it is a feast of St. Valentine. It's a pagan holiday, and it is a feast of St. Valentine. And the very first Valentine ever given was in the 14th century when a priest had gone to jail for marrying soldiers. They weren't allowed to marry. And he had gone to jail, and he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And before he was beheaded, he wrote a farewell letter, and it said, "From your Valentine." And so that was possibly the first Valentine that was ever written before. David, tell us a little bit about traditions in Scotland as far as Valentine's Day.
Well, and Valentine's Day, of course, as you may know, is an offshoot of an ancient Roman festival called Lupercalia. And in fact, up until relatively recently, at least in Scotland, it was still celebrated with an offering of food rather than actually a little kind of Hallmark moment, say, with a card. The oldest Valentine's card, though, that I've heard of was actually found in Vindolanda about two years ago. And Vindolanda, of course, as you may know, is a Roman site on what was once Hadrian's Wall in Northumbria, where they have discovered a whole series of little tablets called the Vindolanda tablets, written on wood. Now, these, when the fort was cleared out, around about AD 70 or thereabouts, the then commander actually ordered all this stuff to be burned, and someone obviously didn't do the job very well. So we still have access to the Vindolanda tablets even today. And it is known that the soldiers, who of course under Roman law were forbidden to marry, which is why St. Valentine came to such an unfortunate end. For marrying soldiers, which was a terrible no-no at that time. Because, of course, Roman law was still the law of the land even at that time, even in the 14th century.
Yeah, and I just found it pretty interesting. And there were two different articles. One said that he had fallen in love with the jailer's daughter, and another said that he had healed the jailer's daughter.
He may well have done a bit of both.
A bit of both, yes, because he was kind of a mystical person. So basically, David, as far as Valentine's Day, how do you feel about, when someone is single?
There's a huge amount of pressure put on people by society to fit in with the kind of established rules and established behavior. So consequently, you're left actually with, if you're single on Valentine's Day, you're left kind of feeling as if there's something wrong with you. Even though, obviously, the rest of the year you might be perfectly happy being on your own. And part of the problem, I think, actually, apart from Valentine's Day being so heavily commercialized, is also the fact that people are under so much pressure to do what they think is expected of them because that's what society wants. There's certainly nothing wrong with being single on Valentine's Day. It's not that there's anything wrong with you.
Exactly, and that's what we tell a lot of our clients during these days when they are feeling like, or they have just broken up with someone or something like that. I feel that Valentine's Day is good only for one thing, really, and that's just a reminder that there is love, to love each other, to love your family, to love your children, to love your animals, to bring them inside when it's cold, you know, to love, and it's a good reminder, kind of like Thanksgiving, where it's a thankful holiday. To me, Valentine's is just marks a reminder to people that, you know, that love comes in all different kinds of ways, and Valentine's Day is important to, you know, all different kinds of people in different ways.
Well, it's certainly important in that context, but these days I think it's more important in the sense, actually, here of making the greetings card companies a lot of money, because, of course, it's a massive industry now and has been since the late Victorian era.
Yes, it was an interesting thing. I read an article about the woman that actually started the American Valentine's Day ritual, if you will, or buying cards. And she was 19 years old, and she had received, it was in the 1840s, her name was Esther Holland, and she had received, she had received a Valentine's Day card from her father's business associate. And it was an elaborate card from England with lacy paper and very beautiful. And in those days, that's what they gave as far as, mm-hmm. you know, in the Victorian era, as you just mentioned. And her father owned a bookstore and a stationery store. And so she asked her father to get her some, she fell in love with the card itself and asked her father to get her paper lace from England and New York, and she started creating these cards. And her brother, who sold the cards, or who sold books, she asked her brother to take 12 cards that she had made as samples, and he sold, she was hoping for $200, that she would
mm-hmm.
earn $200.
She got a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, she earned $5,000, and it became a huge business enterprise for the 19-year-old.
Which, of course, in the Victorian period, and for women, was a tremendous amount of money. I mean, that would equate to about maybe $500,000 in today's money.
Oh, yes, in today's money, and she pretty much, with her marketing acumen, she pretty much put together the idea to have the Valentine's Day boxes in the schools where the kids started giving Valentines to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that became the huge commercial enterprise of Valentine's Day. But, you know,
which, of course, we have in the modern era now.
Yes. now it's flowers, it's take your
mm-hmm.
wife to a motel or whatever. I mean, it's become a huge, elaborate event. But which
it
brings me
has.
To...
It places a huge amount of pressure on people, especially, as of course we know as readers, say, sort of young women.
Yes. It is a tremendous amount of pressure on young women, for sure, because young women expect to have that romance, that the Cinderella
yes.
story and the whole thing, and that can
which
be a huge letdown.
It can be even when they do get the romance, it's still not enough sometimes. Because
right.
society programs you to want more.
Exactly. Society programs us to want more. And so I see that, that kind of brings me to, though, you know, that Valentine's Day, it can be fun for a lot of people, and it can be fun for a couple when couples love each other. But other than just Valentine's Day, how can a relationship be more loving, like a couple?
Well, I think,
how could a husband be more loving to his wife?
Well, I think the biggest thing, of course, is obviously to work on communication, which so often people don't do. I mean, how often have you actually had a client come on and tell you, what's my husband thinking?
Several,
well, actually, a lot. Why don't you go and ask him?
Exactly. You live and breathe and sleep with him, and yet you don't
exactly.
ask him what he's thinking.
Part of
and
the
some...
problem seems to be that people are so emotionally divorced from one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel
and
like that.
And that's, unfortunately, a product, I think, of the information age that we're living in. Because, ironically, we have so much access to this that we completely forget what's right in front of our noses.
Yes, and it can strip away some of the romance, can't it? I would think.
It strips away, I would think, a substantial amount of the romance.
Instead of a beautiful, elaborate, lacy card, you get a text message.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Because, yes, I have had clients that have been very disappointed about the fact that their boyfriend or whoever did not give them a card, didn't even ask them for a date, and, you know, they've been together for 6 months, and, you know, it can be a little bit disheartening. But as you said, it's also all the pressure. You know, oh, my friend got a flower, I didn't get anything, you know. And, you know, the pressure of it can be somewhat devastating. But as far as, you know, when a couple, when they get together, and we highly recommend as spiritual advisors and light workers that it's best to be personal up front, like you were saying, David, to speak to each other. Say, hey, what you thinking? Hey, why don't we go for a walk? Or why don't you touch my hand? Why don't you hold my hand? You know, you don't have to ask, but just grab the hand, you know,
absolutely,
and give that. Affection comes in many ways, and it doesn't have to be incredibly sexual. It just has to be a light touch, brush a speck off your shoulder, and a little attention can go a long way toward, you know, in a couple's relationship.
And so with
our reminders every day to, in order to avoid fights and conflicts at home, is what do you usually recommend when there's no trust in the relationship, David? As far as is my husband cheating on me?
Well, generally, I mean, with a lot of these questions, 90% of the time it's down to the insecurity rather than the person actually kind of doing the dirty deed, so to speak.
I found that to be true.
I mean, very often we get to, you know, work gets in the way, different schedules gets in the way, and of course, say, a lot of people tend to get rather insecure rather quickly, as I'm sure you've probably noticed.
Yes, yes, a lot of people do get insecure rather quickly, and that's the thing, and without true trust, there is no true love, is what I usually
tell them. Well, exactly, you can't really have a relationship.
Yeah, because when you're sitting comfortable, it's, you know, just breathing the same air in the same room, you know, just, you know, reading together, just knowing that you're there, that sharing
mm-hmm.
that spiritual
that,
energy
that
together.
Makes the difference. That makes the difference.
Yeah, that makes, and that makes you say, well, I am comfortable with this person. I don't have anything in my mind that he's cheating on me or any of those things. And so that does make a difference, and that can also bring to romance as well when you trust or learn to trust the person that you're with. If the person, of course, is treating you very badly and is inconsiderate or whatever, then you have to make the decision to move on.
You certainly do, and you have to be brutally honest with yourself as well.
Yeah, and you know, going back to Valentine's Day, as far as do you do anything personally for Valentine's Day, or do you just find it just way too commercial for?
Well, it's way too commercial. So what I normally do is I throw a pot.
Uh huh.
Rather than spending a fortune on the mass-produced, rather soulless gifts.
In other words, you make something.
I make something. It's a lot more personal, and it's something that's going to make an impression. It's going to last.
Yes, it does, and it's also something useful that people can use. But not only that,
absolutely,
your energy, your essence,
goes into the object.
Your spirit, right, goes into the object. So that makes it 10 times more meaningful when
mm-hmm.
someone is receiving a gift like that. And so I do see that's, you know, an important aspect. And I as well, I just give either time or give, to, like, my neighbor, my 78-year-old neighbor needed some help with her computer, which I'm
mm-hmm.
there quite a bit helping her with her computer. But
the joys of Windows.
Yes, the joys of Windows 8, right?
Which is why I use Windows.
Right. But I help her out, and to me, I just, well, basically because I love her. But I, you know, the whole thing is that when you give time to someone, whether it's a neighbor or
mm-hmm.
An elder, or, you know, even volunteering, and I'm going to bring up the animal shelter if you don't mind, but even volunteering in the animal shelter is putting out that love into the universe that you're wanting to attract into your life. And so many people, they say, well, and they don't like the answers, David, sometimes. When
no, they don't.
Say, well,
it doesn't fit
how can I bring love into my
believe.
Life? Right. They'll be like, how can I bring love into my life? And I'll be, you know, how, you know, when am I going to find the one? And I said, well, first of all, I see them. They don't go anywhere. They're sitting in front of a computer. They don't put themselves out there. And you have to tell them, and you have to guide them, which is
absolutely.
Why I like to say.
Because
and we have to guide them out of that chair.
Yeah, they expect Mr. Wright's going to beam himself into the living room and say, how are you doing? Which, in the real world, doesn't work.
Right. You know, and the best way to, you know, when I tell them, okay, this is what you got to do, you first got to change your routine, you know, and it's not going to happen to you. You create life. You're the co-creator of your own reality. You get
exactly.
up out of that chair, you go take some ballroom dancing or go skydiving or whatever it is
mm-hmm.
and put your essence of your spirit out into the world. And that's not talking about going and picking up guys. That's talking about putting
yeah.
your spirit out into the universe. And that love that you put out, whether it's to the animal shelter, whether it's to the neighbor next door, all that will come back to you. But when you tell them that, or when I say, you know, it's really very easy, this is what you do, when you tell them that, they still want
mm-hmm.
The storybook.
What
the right. Like, what day is he coming? What month is he coming?
Yeah.
What does he look like? What does he
mm-hmm.
do for a living?
What's his social security number?
Yeah, it's a social security. Have you had those callers?
Oh yeah, I've had those type of questions.
So and those are very interesting, and it makes our journey as well. My clients bring me up to a higher level of spirit, as they do you, as they do all of us that are light workers, and they bring us to a higher level of spirit because they reinforce the wisdom that God or Spirit has given us, so that we've accumulated throughout the years, and they reinforce it by, you know, for sometimes we'll be in doing a reading, and I don't even know where the words came from. I am gone. I am somewhere else, you know, and you've felt that many, many times, David, I know, because you've been doing this for, how long have you been doing this now? 30 years?
Well, I've been well over 25 years.
25, yeah.
But I've done readings all over the world. I mean, as I'm sure our listeners can guess from the accent, I'm not from upstate New York.
No, tell us a little bit where you're from, David.
Well, I'm from Glasgow originally, on the west coast of Scotland. No, the east coast of Scotland, I do apologize to all my Glaswegian friends. And, you know, Glasgow is for centuries, Glasgow was like a hub of industry. And it was a major religious centre, particularly of the Scottish Presbyterian movement and the battles between that and Catholicism all through the 16th century onwards. But it's not the kind of area where you would kind of grow up in a working class background and say, oh, I'm going to go off and be a psychic somewhere.
Right. It doesn't work that way, of course not.
No, you would have had a choice. You would sort of leave school at 14 or 15 and go into the shipyards.
Mm-hmm.
Or you would go into some form of heavy industry, and that sort of thing wouldn't have been discussed, and it certainly wouldn't have been encouraged. But by the time I came out of school, of course, the shipyards were gone. Heavy industry was gone. So you didn't have... at that point, it was a time here where you could kind of figure out really what you wanted to do without being told what to do, if that makes sense.
Yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at one time we had hundreds of shipyards in Glasgow. We had well over 100 on the area of the Clyde that I grew up on. Now we have one.
Yeah.
That was an industry for people that leave the school at 14, 15, 15. That would be them until they were 65.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me, David, as far as your psychic abilities, when did you realize, well, it was 25 years ago, you've been doing readings. Obviously, it must have been when you were a child or young.
Well, I knew after a major car accident at 15.
Uh-huh.
I'd left the school on the Friday, and on the Sunday night, I was classified as DOS, which is dead on scene. So from that point onwards, I sort of started to kind of dig into it and really recognize it at that point.
Yeah.
But I would have to say it's something that I had previous to that point. It was just that was the kind of the big catalyst. But from that point, I've been doing readings professionally. I mean, this is what I've done for a very, very long time.
Yes, I think many of us at StarPsychics.com have been doing readings for very many years, probably hundreds if we accumulate it all together. I myself been doing readings since I was 14, although I had my experience started at 9. But a lot of us mm-hmm. have our experiences come in different ways. And did you have a near-death experience, David? Is that what you were saying?
Oh, yeah, I had the full works, the full Monty.
The full Monty.
As they say.
Yes.
Funnily enough, I lived not far from where that film was made in Sheffield.
Oh, really?
In terms of doing readings, I must have done at least, I think conservatively, maybe 50,000, maybe 60,000 readings.
Yeah, and that's why you're one of the top readers in the industry today. David James is, Stars David James is one of the top readers in the industry, and is a 5-star reader all over the internet, and pretty well known for accuracy and, of course, for guidance and lightworker guidance. And you can find him at starpsychics.com.
As well as being blunt and direct with people, which
yes.
not everybody likes.
Not everybody, yeah, exactly. You got to be prepared for the truth, and sometimes we
well,
put that
see,
in
for,
our...
For many, many years, Christina, I did readings in Glasgow pubs.
In pubs?
In pubs.
Yes, I did that
I did
myself. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know yourself, when you go into a pub full of drunk women looking for readings, they can sense... they can spot bullshit at 10 paces.
Yeah.
And they will show no mercy.
Right, and they show no mercy, exactly.
So, I mean, I did readings for people that, you know, these days I probably would run screaming from in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had one gentleman came in many, many years ago and he said, see, if I don't like what I'm hearing, I'm going to put my bottle in your face.
Oh, that's
said,
not the kind
fine.
Of...
I said, that's fine. So who's Kylie? And this big hard man burst into
yeah.
tears and cried like a baby. He just buried her the day before.
Oh, I see. Well, I
this
just...
So, I mean, you learn very, very quickly here to trust what you're being given by the other side.
Yes. It's usually the first voice, and to me, it's usually the first feeling, first voice, the first thing that comes up, you know, and that
and
suddenly
very
it
often,
is.
No matter how bizarre that sounds, it usually is the right thing.
Right, and it usually is the right thing, and that's how we read for people as well, though some of us use tools like tarot, and some of us are channelers and mediums and astrologers. There are many, many top-notch astrologers on the site at starpsychics.com. Well, we're getting ready to open up the lines for questions and answer time. And so, David, thank you so much for joining us today. You're welcome to answer some questions if you wish.
Certainly. And, of course, you can find me on the site of, say, Stars David James.
Yes, Stars David James, and you can find him at www.starpsychics.com. And so now I'm going to open up for some questions here, okay?
Sure.
Okay. And Stars JC, are you with me? No, she's not. Hello, Stars JC, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Go
ahead if you have some questions. You and David can continue on with the discussion as I open up for callers.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello, Stars David James. How are you?
Defecating clay at the moment. How are you doing?
Not bad. Winter is trying to retreat around here in northeastern New Jersey, so I'm getting happy.
It's starting to retreat here as well in upstate New York.
Upstate New York, I lived there for a while. I stay away from it.
Yeah, I'm in the Finger Lakes.
Oh, my. I was listening.
Give this woman a break. Y'all go up in your own room.
Oops. David, you were saying that you had a near-death experience when you were 15.
This was after a really bad car accident.
Shit.
And I still have great fun. I still have great fun at airports. I think I'm the Taliban.
Oh, my. Oh, my. So they had to patch you up with titanium, huh? David? Uh-oh, did we lose him?
I had a certain amount of fun patching me up.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, I said they had a certain amount of fun patching me up.
Oh, I can imagine. And all that while...
I had great fun at airports.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. But don't they give you an ID card that says David will set off alarms?
You know what? I don't know if they do or not. You just have to tell them when you're going through the airport and you're leave them to work it out for themselves.
Ah, okay. Well, as you're doing that, do you find that you get any messages from some of the more uptight screeners?
Well, you know, we don't travel through airports very often, which is probably a good thing, but occasionally you'll get kind of some rather anal reactions.
No, what I meant was psychic messages of some sort where the person is broadcasting or you can feel their energy.
You very often do, but I think you learn after a while not to just open your gob.
Yes, so true.
Yeah, I find it quite, I mean, I see these shows on TV, like you've got the psychic sisters and these women that bound up to you in the street and start burbling on about giving you messages. Now, to me, I find that a little bit offensive. You know, if somebody comes running up to me babbling nonsense, I'm likely to punch them.
I agree. Oh, my.
If there's information about somebody, I'm not just going to spout it out unless they kind of come and ask for it, if we can put it that way.
That makes more sense. That does. When you do your readings,
mm-hmm.
I do astrology, and many, many years ago I was on another site, and I remember... It got to be a joke. We used to say that a young lady would come in and she'd say, "My name is Lisa. Does Brian love me?"
Yeah.
And then the next person would come in, "My name is Lisa. Does Brian love me?" But do you find that the questions have changed over the years, or is it the same basic idea?
I think the questions are about the same. I mean, really, the fundamental issues that people face haven't changed.
So the human race is not progressing, huh?
They haven't progressed in a long time, I don't think. A lot of it, I think, is down to the fact here that over the last 50 or 60 years or so, there's been a concerted effort to dumb down the population.
Yes. Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. And unfortunately, with my connection to the education system here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
I have watched... children who graduate from their last year of high school, and they're not prepared to go on to university.
Absolutely. And I've seen that here in the U.S. as well. I mean, I do a craft workshop every year in the Finger Lakes. I mean, I don't run it. I just go to it. And we had one young lady last year who had just finished her, I think it was a BA or something in ceramics. Could she censor a pot? No. One of the basic fundamental principles, and she had no clue.
Wow.
So that would tell me that, yes, the public is being dumbed down. Whether there's a kind of inherent reason for this or just sheer laziness remains to be seen.
No comment. Have you found that with this...
Hello, this is Christina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you, Christina.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay. Well, I'm looking... There is someone that's supposed to be asking some questions, but she hasn't called in yet. So let's... perhaps we can continue the discussion with Mama Fortuna. Are you there? Mama Fortuna?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Stars Mama Fortuna.
Stars Mama Fortuna, that's right.
Yes. Please tell us what your spin is on Valentine's Day and what you think about Valentine's Day.
Well, first off, I wanted to say that, Christina, you and David James have done a wonderful job. It's really been an interesting show. And David's accent is so beautiful. I could just listen to him all evening.
Yes, I know. He's a lot of fun. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Now, on Valentine's Day, I think you actually hit most of it pretty much before I got into the scene. I would really like to underscore the idea of it being a pressured holiday. And mm-hmm. I'd also like to go back into history a little bit with you regarding the David James had mentioned the pagan Lupercalia and the origins
yep.
of Valentine's Day. There was originally a lover's lottery that was held that kind of eventually became our Valentine's Day cards. And the intention of the holiday was never that it was going to be a long-term romance, the love of your life, the guy, Mr., you know, right guy, the one, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The intention was that you would have a date for the Valentine's Day or Lupercalia celebrations, which might last a day or a week or at most a year. But it was never the intention that Valentine's Day was about the love of your life, the person that you will spend
Absolutely.
The rest of your life with. Right. And so
it's only been in the last 100 years or so that we've gotten that.
Right. But it was never intended to be anything more than a fun fling. It's supposed to be a fun thing. And if you win the lottery, great. But by next year, it's over anyway. So to hinge so much emotion on Valentine's Day is just, it doesn't have a foundation in anything that's going to last.
Sorry, Stacy here, but that was just the commercialization.
Very upset.
Oh, exactly, and the commercialization is just so people make money. Same reason that they give us all these different diet advices, and we have to feel like we keep on having to buy the next diet because the last one didn't work. All we need to do is go to college and take a nutrition class, and we can throw that all out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's a bunch of junk. But, yeah, it's the commercialization. And I think it's fun for the kids in class to exchange Valentines. And I also think it's fun to get flowers. Or if you don't get flowers from somebody else, to give flowers to yourself and just sign the card from your secret admirer and let everybody guess, you know?
That would certainly be a good move for people to kind of start a realizing that they themselves actually do deserve, you know, to be happy on Valentine's Day, even if they are the odd person out.
Love yourself first.
Exactly.
And plenty of people don't do that.
We've been taught not to.
Well, and also there's the competition. If you're,
that.
I'm sorry.
Well, we've certainly been programmed by society not to love ourselves, to always find that there's something lacking or wrong with us.
But that's so that we become dependent on the merchants and the advertisers
mm-hmm.
and so that we buy their product.
Well, exactly. And so many people don't realize that.
No, it's, again, the commercialization of Valentine's Day is where the anxiety came from, because you look at the advertisements, you look at the magazines, you look at the television commercials, and they build anxiety into people who look at them.
Mm-hmm. At least let me do.
Mm-hmm. And they make them feel less confident in themselves. And then I have to go and buy the best card. I have to buy the best flowers. I have to buy an outfit. And you're just feeding their coffers. And becoming
and
more
it's
more
not even
yeah.
a holiday. You can't take the day off work. So you're all subject to watching and seeing who got the big dozen roses in the office, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And either it's you or it's not you. And then there's the competition coming in.
Exactly. And that in itself can be certainly very painful for people.
But then there's the confident woman who sends herself the roses and says, "From your secret admirer."
Well, exactly. And we actually need a lot more people like that out there. You know, that can see through the kind of the hype and the media control.
Unfortunately, that doesn't happen, David. I'm sure you know.
Really,
until a woman is a little bit older.
And even then, it doesn't always happen.
No, you're right. I know many, many insecure ladies who are 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're still looking for the one, or they're looking for their soulmate, and I'm going to open that topic up and let everybody dump in on that. But my theory is that at whatever level it happens, the soul is divided into parts, and then that those parts come into existence here on the earth plane so that they can learn and elevate themselves.
There's also the fact as well here that the term soulmate was mainly used by 19th century romance novel writers as a plot device.
Yes.
Until Madame Blavatsky got hold of the idea. Obviously after a few bottles of vodka too many. And then, of course, while she's banging Crowley, Crowley gets hold of the idea. Arthur Waite then gets hold of the idea from him, or from the Queen Mother's sister, who was also banging Crowley. And it's become, at least in the New Age and pagan communities over the last century, it's become, like, regarded as being canon, regarded as a law. But in fact, it's not.
Yeah, but I tell
the
everyone...
The expression I think you're looking for is the Anamkara, the Celtic word for... the exact etymological translation is soul friends, meaning that in each lifetime, you know, the soul being divided into several different forms or individuals and coming together.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to come together in a particular lifetime, or
well,
you slow down or stop the progress.
And in some lifetimes, you should really run in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Because very often, someone who comes into your life in the context of this could have been your worst enemy in a former lifetime or your pet dog.
Well, I just want to interrupt us as Stars Christina and welcome all the new listeners who are listening today. We have a few guest listeners, and you are more than welcome to call in, and this is the call-in part of our show, and please ask at least one question to our great star psychics who are on right now. The guest call-in number is 347-838-9736, and please put your area code in the queue so I can see what your number is, okay, and we can hook you up. Thanks so much. And you guys continue on with the conversation. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's not a problem.
That's okay.
So what does all this have to do with psychic readings? Personally, I'm stuck on psychic work if I don't have tarot cards. And the obvious tarot cards that we would connect with Valentine's Day would be the Lover's card, and would be all the cards with cups on them, which means emotions. So, just so
yeah, the cups, and certainly to an extent, maybe the major cards.
As far as how and this is Chris Stars Christina. As far as Valentine's Day being connected to our readings and how we do readings with tarots, or did you mean your question to be how we connect with spirit during Valentine's, or?
I'm just trying to turn the conversation into, well, what does this have to do with the work of being a psychic? And personally, I'm a psychic. Christina and David James have been psychics for years and years. I had dabbled in it for years and years, and finally found out a couple of years ago I could help other people with it. But I use tarot constantly. I know there's tons of different tools, tons of different methods, all kinds of different ways that we can, you know, connect with people who want to have readings. I use the cards.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cards are certainly a great focusing tool.
Yeah, they put you in alpha state. And alpha state is where you're reading between the lines, is how I like to put it, like Psyche did when she was trying to get back to Cupid or whatever, or prove herself that she was worthy of Cupid. And you would read between the lines, and to get into that state, the tarot cards, because they have such archetypal images, the images themselves have a lot to do with fire and energy and love, as the cups cards go and stuff like that. But basically they're a tool. Not everybody, the cards are not interpreted in the same way with everybody. The Lover's card for one person may mean a business partnership for another person. So it all depends on how the connection to the person, as we do online when we connect to the people, whether they're in chat or phone. You know, that is the main thing. And then the tools are just there to kind of help us get us into a state where we can connect to them on a subconscious level and provide them with the light and the solution to their everyday problem, their spiritual solution to their problem is what I usually call it, you know, because it's from spirit that we end up connect. We're all the same, you know, all our souls are exactly the same. And so when we connect to each other's soul as light workers, we can bring out things into the light to help people decide what they want to do with their life or what's the next step to take, you know. So, and let's go back on to Stars JC. Are you still with us there, dear?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you. Did you have other questions or something else to contribute regarding Valentine's? How did you get started with readings, or how do you feel exactly about readings in Valentine's Day? If that's even a good question to ask that
no,
way.
No, it is. It is. And so many things come to mind. No, when I started, it was out of curiosity. I was 16 years old, and I picked up an astrology magazine in a grocery store. And I used to sit during my study period and doodle the glyphs, the symbols. And then I started writing words after them so that I could memorize them. But when I look at a chart and someone is asking me, is there love coming for me? Or my heart has been broken. Or, you know, they go into that mode. The first thing I look for in their chart is, what are their strengths? What's their potential? And I try to bring them around to look at that first. And I try to lift their spirits and encourage them to, as I said earlier, love themselves. Many, many times it does work. And I've had people say, oh, forget him. I'm done with him. Let's move on. At that point, then I will look at the indicators in the chart as to whether they're going to journey on for a while by themselves to strengthen themselves, or whether there's something coming up in the near future.
David and JC, we have Rose Maria on the line who'd like to ask one of you a question. And here she is.
Hi,
Rose Maria, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you for calling Star Psychics Blog Radio. Please, what is your question for us today, and we'll get started.
I was wondering if you pick up on anything for me for 2013.
In regards to love or relationships?
Yes.
Okay. Do you pick up anything, JC?
I would have to look at a chart, and so I'm going to bow
okay,
out.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's the astrologer. How about yourself, David?
Okay, in terms of your love life, it doesn't look as if you've had much luck over the last couple of years, which obviously hasn't helped your confidence. To be honest, there is opportunity coming up here for you, but it's not going to be until at least the end of the spring. So you're looking realistically here, probably kind of April, May time.
Okay.
But it does mean as well here that you're going to have to change your pattern a little bit and try and let go of, to be blunt, some of the emotional garbage from the past.
Yes.
And this new guy that's coming into your life is likely to be a little bit younger than you. Looking at a young tube. We're not looking at a toy boy, so you can relax.
I don't date anybody younger anyway.
Right.
Never will, never
would. This guy
would.
Is going to be no more than a couple of years younger than you at the most. But it does look like it's going to be a break from your usual pattern of dating, and this guy would be a little bit younger than you.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, listen, thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to our next caller. Thank you for calling in. Come back next Thursday or visit us at www.starpsychics.com for a detailed reading. Thanks so much, dear. And I'm sorry, JC and David James, you guys were discussing something else regarding psychic readings, and we have another one. Richard, are you on the line there, Richard?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Richard. Did you have a question for us? And we'll be glad to answer it.
Yeah, my question would have to be, do you see my music leading to a career? And I'm asking that because also when I'm practicing, I regularly feel somebody touch my hand. I can hear my name called. I've seen my guitar move. And sometimes I feel like I've just stepped to a spider web, and it all happens when I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm. You, well, that would certainly mean that you're moving towards a more positive level in terms of your development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the psychic level. So it's not anything that's happening inside your head. I mean, you're not going nuts or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm getting some lovely chills.
And
very positive reinforcement.
It's going to become more common over the next couple of years for you. But as I said, it's not anything to worry about. I mean, it's not Amityville Horror or anything like that.
Oh, no, I've seen this. First time I ever saw something was when I was 9. I saw a pretty little lady all of a sudden showed up out of nowhere, and I was pretty much a clear with sparkly white and pink blue, you know, colors and no feet, and just gave me a big smile and waved and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm. You may find that that was probably a guide making themselves known to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 months ago I heard a sweet little voice out of nowhere say hello, two times, and it scared my cat.
Well, you know it's certainly real when the cat gets scared.
Richard, I think you have a muse. Somebody
okay,
to guide
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I do hear music coming into my head when I'm practicing regularly, so I've been starting to write down the lyrics too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would certainly also be of benefit to you.
Yeah, I do like it. It makes me feel good when I'm practicing, so that's the thing that I'm the most open, I guess.
Richard, keep your mind open, keep your spirit open, listen to the muse, and I have a feeling we're going to be able to say, gee, Richard was on our program a long time ago. Look at how famous he is now.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, if you can make a living doing what you love to do, that's the best thing.
Right,
then
it's not work.
It certainly is. Well, we have our next caller now. Thank you so much, Richard, for calling, and we'd love to give you a more in-depth reading at www.starpsychics.com or come back next week. Thanks so much. Next Thursday at 8 p.m., it's every Thursday night that we'll be having a show. Thanks so much, Richard.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hello?
Mary from New York?
Yes, I am.
You're online here now, Mary. Thank you so much for calling us. We really appreciate the call. And what is your question for us this evening, and we'll get started.
Just a general. I'm new to this spiritual journey, and I'm in the beginning stages, and it happened through my awakening through the 12 steps of AA, and just... am I going the right way? I mean,
oh, Mary,
I drink, and I know that's over, you know, but just in the spiritual terms.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, and I'm really excited to meet you. This is Stars Christina speaking, and I tell you, I feel that you're going through a spiritual awakening is what I'm seeing the most, and you're becoming connected to yourself and loving yourself. You don't have to drink anymore to love yourself. Because before it was, you know, you were funnier or whatever, you know, the good time girl or whatever. And now you can really connect to who you really are. And you're just getting closer and closer to the spirit world and becoming more and more intuitive. You're to be used as a tool by the spirit to help other people in your position, in the position you're in, to help other people. You've gained what wisdom and experience and knowledge that has been given to you by the spirit. And the more you're on this journey, the more cleaned up you are, the closer you are to God. And that makes you a goddess, you know, and a light worker. And you're going to be helping a lot of people. So I had to jump in there and say that, Mary, because I got, you know, very excited when I heard your voice. I just felt that you had a very good, loving, kind spirit. You've always been very generous from what I picked up from you. Do you pick up anything else, David James or Stars?
Well,
JC?
I mean, certainly congratulations there on reaching sobriety.
Thank you.
It looks as if you certainly will be able to maintain that, because, you know, I know it's not easy.
But trying for 25 years and finally went through the 12 steps out of the big book. You know, and a lot.
That's good.
Yeah. My ex-mother is from Scotland, and I just...
Is she?
Yeah, and I absolutely adore the way you talk, you know, and and we're spiritually connected, me and him. He's also in recovery, but he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know.
Well, that's good. That's good.
It's good in a sense, but it's not because we're separated. But I heard from him last night, and it was just so light and so loving, and you know, you see anything happening for us?
Well, you know, it looks as if you're going to be able to put at least some of the past garbage behind you. You know, the resentments, the kind of the, to be blunt, lies, and the kind of the crap that's gone on over the last few years. So certainly you will be able to put all that behind you.
Right. So you see us reconnecting as lovers?
Not necessarily as lovers, no.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that's being shown here is that you two are in a bad combination when you're together.
No, actually, it's not me. We had the best combination because we were both sober. And he was separated 4 years, and she got wind that he had somebody in his life that he loved, and she dangled the kids. You know, and he loved his kids more than he loved me. You know, and
a lot of them, yeah, a lot of people pull that stunt, unfortunately, and they use kids as pawns.
Right, so we had a great relationship, you know. Let him go. I let him go.
Yeah.
I let him go on his journey. And he told me last night he's miserable. He's miserable, absolutely miserable.
As I said, I don't feel like you're going to be reconnecting as lovers, certainly not at this point. Down the line, potentially. But at this point, it would be helpful to take baby steps.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
You have a great day.
Thank you, Mary, from New York, for calling, and you have a great evening. We're about to wrap up our show. Do we have any, or we may have one more caller here. We just have a few more minutes. So let me connect with this caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, is that the caller?
Hello,
no.
Helen.
Hi.
Claire, is this you, dear?
Yeah.
We're on the air. Go ahead and ask your question, sweetie, and we'll get started. We have just a few more minutes.
Okay, I have this issue where I stay up really late at night, and I wonder why I'm such a night owl. What is it about me that makes me that way, and is it?
Some people are basically like that. Some people are... function better actually at night than they do during the day. It's not, I don't feel like there's anything kind of untoward there.
Okay. And if you have time, I would like to hear more about your near-death experience.
Well, I was, as I said, I was involved in a car accident at the age of 15 and was a, you know, was watching the kind of the ambulance service guys actually working on me. And when I got to the local hospital after I'd, say, revived, and the guy said, what's medical hallucination? And I said, I looked the guy in the eye, and I said, no, 3 units of Jell-O Hughes and 2 of Hartman's, and you have brown underpants on. No, not medical hallucination. He disappeared at that point and never reappeared, ended up with somebody else. The point being, though, is that with regard to that, I mean, I described what the guys were doing to them, and they said, well, the only way you could have seen that is if you were actually standing watching us. So that kind of validates the experience. And, of course, to read more about the near-death phenomena, there's an interesting series of books by a guy called Dr. Raymond Moody that came out in the mid-1980s, where he actually documented thousands of cases of this. So it's well worth reading.
Yeah, and there's also, I'd like to recommend a book I just finished reading called Proof of Heaven, which was written by a surgeon, a neurosurgeon who was a brain surgeon, and
he had he was in a coma for 7 days and with an E. coli meningitis, which he should have died from. 10% of the people survive, and he made a complete recovery. And in the book, he describes what it's like to have that out-of-body or near-death experience. And he was convinced at the time, he was being a brain surgeon, he didn't believe in any of that. But when he experienced it himself, he's now sharing it with the world. So the book is called Proof of Heaven. So, and also, if you all are interested, all our guests who have been listening, if you're interested in some of our blogs, we have all kinds of metaphysical topics, and we also have a store with all kinds of metaphysical items, and I'm sure David's pottery is there, and other mystical
items. Well, not yet, because I'm waiting for firing.
Oh, not yet, but it should be there soon, and so the store is there, the blog is there. And please give us a call or check out our website at www.starpsychics.com. And we'll be here every Thursday night. And thank you so much, David James. And
well, it was great to have me.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much, Stars JC and Mama Fortuna and all of you who have contributed. And to all our guests all our listeners who have come in, really appreciate that you are listening in. And again, our show next week is on Thursday night at 8:00 p.m. and it's an hour show, half hour of discussion, and the other half hour taking questions. And everyone must be over 18 years of age, and this is for entertainment purposes only. So thank you so much for joining us all, and good night, David James.
Good night, Christina.
Good night, JC, and all you. And thank you so much. A special thank you to Priestess Candy, who's been in the chat rooms, helping us with the chat rooms, and also our lovely Natalie, who is the boss, or actually the owner of the site, who's in the background but also very active on the chat. So thank you all again, and we'll see you next time.
Happy
Good night,
Valentine's
everyone.
Day.
It was fun.
Happy
thank
Valentine's
you.
Day. Thank you.